Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 275, the first two stanzas. And thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. 1 and 2 of Psalter 275.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon you can find in the book of Judges, thereof the 6th chapter, the first 14 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Judges 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee thus far?
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and long-suffering Lord, over this whole universe, but so long-suffering also over thy own people, whom thou dost hold so dear unto thy heart, that thou may look upon us also in the days wherein we live with our children, and that included also among us may be those who are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. For we have just heard out of our own confession how that thou didst suffer and die, and the third day did rise again, and hast ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Oh, that thou may there apply all thy mediatorial labors in the midst of thy people. And Lord, we wait upon thee, for we cannot do this work in our own strength. And then it is alone thee who knowest the heart of all men, and who are thine, and whom that thou wilt draw with the cords of love, and with the bands of a man. O Lord, we wait upon thee, and we look unto thee. O give us to draw nigh to thee in spirit and in truth, and that we may be given by a true and saving faith to take hold of thee in all that thou hast promised, for the sake and the name and the honor of thy own name and thy dear Son, for all that covenant that he has fulfilled, so that he is worthy of a great reward, a multitude of subjects, O Lord. Could it please thee also in our days wherein we live, wherein Satan is more and more loosed, that he has so many subjects in this world, and that thou wouldst also be a robber of hell, and that thou wouldst take us and our children for thine own account, and that we may be taken out of death, and that we may be brought into the state of life, eternal life that begins here below, and that never dies, and that glorifies thee, here by beginning and one day perfectly. O Lord, glorify thy name. We are unworthy of the least of all thy notice or attention. Thou knowest all our sin, and we have desires and that are not after thee. But we look to thee that thou mayest change them, to give us new hearts of flesh, and new hearts that yearn, that hunger, and that thirst. For thou art almighty and can break the most hard and stony hearts once again. We have received that message, how that death has crept into the windows, in the midst of families, also in our midst. And then it is a man of great age, and yet we all must die, and we cannot live forever. And Lord, that thou mayest remember those that mourn, and wilt thou comfort as thou alone art able to comfort, and with that only comfort in life and in death, that they may be given themselves to know that they are not their own, but belong unto their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, then we cannot miss and that comfort. And then there are also ties in this world that are broken. Wilt thou give a supply from above in this week when the last remains must be brought unto the grave? Be with children, grandchildren, and all around, within that family, and all those that mourn the losses of their loved ones. Oh, do instruct us in the shortness of our life, as we can read it in thy word, a time to be born and a time to die, and life that is as in hand breath, that is as a shadow, and that quickly fleeth away. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. The grave yawning for more bodies, all on the instigation of that prince of darkness, so that the grave is never satisfied. Oh, open our eyes to behold all his deceits, that we may flee from him into unto that refuge that thou hast made, that we may be delivered from all our sins and our miseries, and from all the punishment that is due unto them. Wilt thou care for all the sick and the afflicted, those that have received surgeries? Make them home again. Also our own daughter-in-law in New Jersey who remains in the hospital after a fall. And thou knowest all the needs. Wilt thou heal her body? Wilt thou visit her soul? And remember them as a family, our wife also, who has gone there to care for the family. Wilt thou supply in the weeks to come? And wilt thou teach us all how quickly, and that our life can change in one moment, and that we might realize, as thy servant did say, that there is but a step between me and death. That we might learn to hasten for our life's sake, as thou hast sent a lot out of Sodom, and hast said unto him, flee unto the mountains, look not behind thee, and neither stay thou in all the plain. O, teach us then the seriousness of our life. Wilt thou so bless thy own word? Remember our government. Thou knowest the elections that have taken place. O Lord, that thou may remember her, and that is appointed to that great task of ruling this province, and all those that are will be with her to do this task. And then she has to give an answer to thee, O Lord, for how she cares for that great responsibility that thou hast placed in her hands. O, give her wisdom. Give her the tender fear of God in her soul, and that it may not be to follow what people say and desire, but that thou wouldest bring thy word close unto her heart. And wilt thou yet prosper us in thy mercy and turn us away from our sin as a province, as a country, a nation, and a continent. Lord, thou knowest all the elections also that take place in the United States of America. Oh, it is all in thy hands, and so much dependent upon it, that thou mayest remember in thy mercy and turn us again. unto thee. Help thou us in this hour. Lord, strengthen us for the labors of our hands to bring thy word. May it be that thou wouldst be in our midst to bring it in our hearts with power, as thou didst in the days of yore, and that thou may bless us and our children. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 218, the first four stanzas. O thou great shepherd of thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal thy face before our host. Now let thy might appear. 1-4 of Psalter 218. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you, Judges chapter 6, and there of the 14th verse, Judges 6, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" So far the words of our text. Gideon sent to deliver Israel. First, a necessary encouragement. Second, a divine sending. And third, a comforting promise. Gideon sent to deliver Israel, a necessary encouragement. Second, a divine sending. And third, a comforting promise. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah. They are the words, congregation, following that rebuke that we have heard that the Lord has given unto his people, the children of Israel. That was for their sin. He did not speak, and we heard that about deliverance. He did not give to them a promise. No, he left with them that message. And that misery and that you experience, and that is a result of your own sin. That is your own fault. And now the Lord alone knows what is in our heart. And he knows what is necessary for each one to bring us into the right place. And when those convictions are sufficient, and when those convictions still need to bring us more in the dust, because the Lord does not waste his own grace. The Lord does not always immediately reveal the movings of his own heart. But while his purpose is yet hidden, from his impoverished people, and then we can read in God's word how that the Lord is busy. He is busy in the ways of his own providence to direct everything for the good of his people, because it is the welfare of his people that lays on his heart. They do not always feel that. We read in God's word that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according unto his purpose. But it is sometimes so very difficult for them to see this, to believe this. Why? Because his counsels, they are mostly secret, mostly hidden. Very little of them revealed. And he has his wise reasons for this. Then he is often instructing his children by the things that he has hidden from his children. You say, that is a paradox. Yes, that is indeed a paradox. That is a mystery. But then they must receive instruction in the days of their waiting. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah. That is something, because it tells us that the Lord is going to do something. He has sent an angel. He has sent a servant. He has sent a messenger onto the earth from heaven. That means the Lord is going to do something. He is going to do something on the earth. And we can see that what certain deists say is not right. They say the Lord has made the whole world, but the Lord does not care for His world. He does not interfere in the world. He does not do things in the world. Just like a clock, He has wound it up. He has given the energy necessary in the creation, and then He just lets that go. That is fatalistic. What does that mean, young people? That means that you might as well not even try to pray, because the Lord, He has nothing to do with His hand presently anymore in the world. Is that true? It is not true. It is not true. You read that in the Bible in so many places, how that the Lord is interfering here in the world. Can you also say sometimes that the Lord has interfered within your own life? You may bend your knees. Do you believe that? You say, children, that seems just like nothing, right? You fold your hands and you close your eyes when you are kneeling by your bed. And then you try to pray. You say, what does that mean? Nobody hears me. I just say those words in my mind. Oh, is that true? That nobody hears you? That is what people will say in the world. But it is not true. We hear it here. Because the children of Israel have cried unto the Lord. The Lord has sent to them a rebuke, a messenger with His own word. And now we read that the Lord does something. And so that cry unto the Lord that has brought about something taking place on the world that no man in Israel could ever have accomplished, that is taking place only, solely by the doing of the Lord. A messenger. He comes in a visible form. He appears like a man. We read he has a staff in his hand and he sits under the oak at Ophrah. Ophrah, we read, pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. So Joash, he was a son of Abiezer. And Abiezer was the son of Hamaliketh. Hamaliketh. Say, who is Hamaliketh? That was the sister of Gilead. So Gilead, the son of Maker, Gilead had a sister, Maker, the son of Manasseh. So Manasseh is the son of who, boys and girls? Manasseh, who is Manasseh's father? You say that was Joseph. So Manasseh, or Joseph, and then Manasseh and Maker, then has two children, boy, but also a girl, Gilead and Hamaliketh, and then Hamaliketh, she gives birth to Abiezer, and then we have Joash. So five generations from Joseph, and Joseph was, boys and girls, a God-fearing man, was he not? Yeah, he was a God-fearing boy already. Young people. That could be seen in his life, because if the fear of God lives in our heart, then that fear of God will also become evident, become manifest in our life. That is, in secret, to fear to walk in the ways of sin. Oh, they have met at the school this past week, parents who are concerned for their children because of the great evils that Satan does bring unto our children. What shall we do about it? How can we help our children? How can we shield our children from sin? Oh, there is one thing in the first place, fathers and mothers, that is the tender fear of the Lord. That has to live in our hearts first. If it lives in our hearts, oh, then we will ask that it lives also in the hearts of our children, and we must do things certainly. Oh, yes, we must do things. But are we also on our knees, and young people? Then is that tender fear of the Lord, because we cannot put a fence around you anymore. You know, the devil, he takes them all down. He takes them all down, and we cannot put them up, not fast enough to protect you. Oh, ask the Lord to keep you. And ask the Lord to keep you in your youth from things that you will regret your whole life long, boys and girls, children. Oh, we have not seen these kinds of things in the power of them, in the temptation of them, in our youth. No, they are new. Satan, he brings forth the same old evil in a new way. And now Joseph, you know, when he was a young man already, that was evident in his life. No one around, but he could not do that evil because the Lord he was watching. And now we read about Gideon. And Gideon, that is five generations later, and Gideon also fears the Lord. Oh, the Lord is often working. He is working in the generations of his own children. Oh, is grace then inherited? No, it is not inherited. We know that Gideon also had children. And we can read about Abimelech and how Abimelech, he has slain all his own brothers. They were half-brothers. That was the son of Gideon, that God-fearing man. But he was also the son of his concubine, because Gideon had many wives. And that was an evil in those days. The Lord, he has permitted it, but it was still sin against him. Oh, 70 sons. And that evil Abimelech, he has slain all of them. Upon one stone, no grace is not inherited. But we see how that the Lord is blessing the instruction and the example that fathers and mothers are giving unto their children. Oh, who are you looking for, young people? When you look for one that you may say may be an help meet for me, are you looking for a God-fearing husband? Do you look for a God-fearing wife? Do you ask the Lord for that? That you may also fear the Lord, and that you may have a God-fearing posterity five generations later. Gideon, he fears the Lord. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Ebite Israelite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. It seems like Gideon did not see this angel of the Lord. He is busy, of course, but he is also somewhat hidden, because we read he is by the wine press. And those wine presses, they were often sunk a little bit into the ground. They were sometimes hewn out in a bit of a rock. And so he is somewhat hidden by that wine press. What is he doing in that wine press? What are you doing in a wine press, children? Then you press wine. Is Gideon pressing wine? I said, no. No, he is threshing wheat. Why then is he in that wine press? Why is he not upon that threshing floor? Well, the Bible says that it is to hide it from the Midianites. And that word to hide in the original language, that means to flee, to escape. So that can be one of two things. That is either that he is there by that wine press to hide what he is doing, that it may flee, that it may escape the sight of the Midianites. That is one thought. Or it could be that it means that he is threshing a little bit that he may flee, a little bit that he may take with him when he is now going to flee from those Midianites. He is beating it with a stick. That is the way that the poor would often do it when they had just a little bit. And then they would take a stick and they would thresh their wheat, because ordinarily that would be done upon a threshing floor. That would be done in a part of the field that they had beaten very hard, and they would do that with their feet. They would do that with the oxen, the feet of the oxen. But that is too dangerous now. Gideon is not careless. He does not just simply say, well, the Lord, he will help us, and he goes out in the open. No, he is hiding it. That is right. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Oh, Gideon looks up. Gideon sees him. Now we read, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now he reveals himself. He shows himself to Gideon. He makes his presence known to him. The Lord is with thee. What a testimony. What a testimony. The Lord is with thee. What do you think that meant to Gideon? The Lord is with thee. What would that mean to us? If we would hear that spoken unto us, the Lord is with thee. Does that mean anything? Or is that just a matter of indifference to us whether the Lord is with us or not? What does that mean to Gideon? Well, how do we know what it means to Gideon? We know what it means to him when we hear what his answer is. And he says, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That is his answer. And what kind of an answer is that? Well, in the first place, it is a ready answer. And it did not take Gideon several minutes to think about how that he was going to answer this question of the angel. That answer was ready at hand. Why? How is it that you have an answer, children, that's ready at hand, that you can answer right away? Well, that is when you have been thinking about those things already. Then that answer is right there. And that is the way it was with Gideon. All the matter has been living in that heart of Gideon. Oh, the Lord is with thee. Oh, how often has not Gideon thought just about that very thing? Whether the Lord be with us or not. That is now a burden that has been living in that heart of Gideon. He is working, yes. He is threshing his wheat, yes. But his heart is bowed down under this burden. Is that so with you too? When you are doing your work, when you are sitting in school maybe, when you are in your kitchen, when you are on your farm, when you are in your truck, that it is not all about the things of this world. 6 days we must labor. Gideon had to do that too. But then there was something that was living and going over and over and over in his heart. So that tells us, when that answer is ready, that tells us just what kind of a man that Gideon once. That is, a man who was burdened with things that are spiritual. Do we have then spiritual things upon our minds? And do we have spiritual things? And that relation, is the Lord with me? Is this now a blessing that comes out of the right hand of the Lord? Or is this a blessing which actually will be to me a curse? There is more than that. Because we see here that it is not only a personal things that live in that heart of Gideon, but they are things that are about the church, that he is concerned for the church. Because when the angel of the Lord says, "The Lord is with thee," then Gideon changes that in his answer. He says, "If the Lord be with," not me, he says, "if the Lord be with us," then it was not just himself that he had upon his mind, in his heart, but it was now the welfare of God's people, of the children of Israel. And so we see what kind of a man, how the Lord is working in a man that he is going to call unto his own service, that he is going to do the Lord's work. Gideon does not know what is coming. He does not expect what is coming. But it is the Lord who is preparing Gideon for his work. A ready answer. It is also an answer that reveals something. It reveals the hope of his soul. His answer. You say, does that reveal the hope of his soul? Yes, it does. You know what it says in there, young people? It says, "There be all his miracles which our fathers told us of." You do that too, fathers and mothers? To tell your children of the miracles, the wonders of the Lord in the life of his people. Or could it be in your own life? But also the wonders of the Lord, what he will do and what he has done in the life of his people. And that we can read that Gideon, children, he has listened. He is older now, but he says, "Our fathers told us." He remembers when his father also told him of the wonders of the Lord. And obviously, then when he was listening, then he listened, he heard it, he remembered it, he thought about it, and in his heart, then there was a certain love, a certain desire. Out of his heart was a panting, a longing. Is that what the Lord has done for his people? Are they the wonders that the Lord performs for a sinful people? Oh, then he is looking upon the children of Israel in his own day. Oh, then he is thinking maybe even as a young man already. Oh, he is looking forward. Will the Lord do that also in my life? Will the Lord now do that also in my time? Oh, then he says, where are they? I remember those stories. I remember those wonders. And I have been given a hope that the Lord would also do that for us and for our children. Oh, what does that answer reveal? That answer reveals what kind of man that Gideon was. Oh, he was a God-fearing man. He was a man that had hoped in the Lord. And now it is also an answer that shows how discouraged that Gideon has become. Oh, it has taken so long. Does it take so long? Does it take so long? Gideon says, I had hoped and hoped and hoped, and I see the misery of my people, and I feel that in my own heart. And then I ask the Lord if the Lord will not be pleased to deliver us from all our sin and from all our misery. And nothing happens. Nothing happens. You say that too? Do you say, young people, fathers, mothers, do you say that too? Oh, where are the wonders now of the Lord? My father told me, I have heard, I've been instructed what the Lord has done for his people. I don't hear it anymore. I don't see it anymore. Where are now the evidences of the work of the Lord in the midst of us? Where are now the true conversions that the Lord has given unto his people? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Gideon does not realize that it is an angel of the Lord. He is very polite to him. He calls him my Lord, but that was also, the words he uses are a way that they have addressed also people, mere men. And he does not receive that encouragement. He thinks that he is just a fellow man, his fellow creature. He does not receive his words as the word of God. He is very polite, but he now expresses the reality that he feels, that he sees with his own eyes, and he feels what is in his own heart, what is actually the reality. You say that the Lord is with us. He says, I cannot see that. No. I see just the opposite. And I have to say that the Lord, he has forsaken us. That is his conclusion after he has tossed those things about in his mind back and forth and back and forth. Then he says there can only be one thing, and that is because our sin that has reached unto heaven. And the Lord has said that he would forsake us when we forsake him. And now indeed, then I can see it no other way. And then there is something else. Gideon has no solution. He has no solution. There is nothing that he says that I can do about it. Because then he feels that we can bring ourselves into the pit, but we are so helpless to bring ourselves out of that pit. And now that angel of the Lord, he speaks such an encouraging word to Gideon. Does he need that? Oh, Gideon needs that. He needs it so much. But faith cannot always receive it. And that is how it was here with Gideon. Later, those words that were spoken to Gideon, we're going to be to him a very great strength. That is in the reflection. When later he is going to come back in all his circumstances and what he has to do in the future, then what here the Lord has spoken to him, when he will reflect upon it, and he will realize the importance of what has happened in this moment, much more in the way of reflection than he does at the time that they were spoken. Because those words, they are to be to him a guarantee that the Lord is going to give him success in his fight against the enemies of the Lord, the Midianites, oh, they're going to be to him a great strength that he may go forward in his work. But presently, he does not receive any benefit from them. Oh, he is so discouraged. When faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. That was Asaph. When in my grief I nurtured doubt, then I well nigh slipped from ways devout. Discouragement. What that does in the life of God's children. A hindrance to receiving the encouragements that the Lord is giving unto his people. And now what do we read? We read, and the Lord looked upon him. It says the Lord. That is all capital letters. The word is Jehovah. And then we find out who that is. That is, now Gideon does not find that out yet. He does not know that yet. But we find that out when we read in the Word of God. And then we may know that this man that is speaking unto Gideon is not just a created angel. It's called the angel of the Lord. That is sometimes used of created angels that are sent as messengers from heaven. But here it is the Lord himself. It is actually Christ himself. He is the Word of God. He is sent to reveal unto his people the will of God. He is sent to reveal who God is. And what is living in the heart of God for his people. That is especially in the way of the deliverance of his people. Christ. He does not have yet a human nature that he has taken upon himself. He is yet the Son of God as a spirit, as he has been from eternity. But he takes upon him for the moment the form of a man. And he appears for a moment in the midst of this world. And he will declare for a moment the deliverance of his own people. Oh, he has a purpose. But we want to sing first. 218 again. Stanzas 5 and 6. Look down, behold, and visit this thy vine, which thou hast planted with thy own right hand. The branch thou madest strong, and owned it thine. 5 and 6. Of Psalter 218. our second thought, a divine sending, and the Lord looked upon him. What is that? The Lord turns toward him. The Lord fastens his eyes upon him steadfastly, with great earnestness, with great intention. The Lord is looking at Gideon. There is something that the Lord is going to communicate to Gideon in this moment. It is not only a message, but power from heaven. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" It is a divine command. And at the same time, the Lord endues Gideon with the power that is necessary to fulfill that official work. Go in this thy might. What might is that? That is not Gideon's might. No. It is the might that the Lord is giving unto Gideon. The might that the Lord is communicating unto Gideon. The Lord says, "I give it unto thee." The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. That is the promise of Jehovah. He assures him that his mission concerning his own people will not fail. He is not to doubt it. Have not I sent thee? The Lord himself communicates, the Lord himself commissions his own servants. No one can take that commission away from his servants. They go in his name. They do his work. They go in his strength. They accomplish his purpose. That is not their own purpose. And because it is all from him, they go so very, very surely. Have not I sent thee? What a moment that was for Gideon. What a moment that was for Gideon. Or he begins to feel something. He begins to feel in that moment that he is not standing here before a common man. This man is not just a traveler over this world, but that he is standing here before someone that is very special, maybe a servant of the Lord, maybe a prophet of the Lord. Oh, Gideon feels something of the presence of the Lord in those moments. Gideon stands in awe. That is no different today. Though his servants do not receive the Lord from heaven in a bodily form, but when the Lord is calling his servants, then they do feel something of the presence of the Lord, the solemnity of his word, the power that comes forth from that word. Thus the Lord, he works in a certain way, in a natural way. But then there is also the supernatural. Thus the Lord is binding matters, certain matters upon the hearts of his future servants. But the Lord is also coming in a supernatural way to give power unto his word, to command them to go forth into his service. Oh, Gideon, he is struck. He had not expected this. And then the conflict begins. That is not the conflict yet with the Midianites. But then there is an inward conflict. There is immediately an inward struggle, a new struggle, on top of all the other conflicts. For himself, for Israel, that are going on in his heart. And now there is a new conflict. It is a conflict of faith. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Wherewith shall I save Israel? With what power? I am weak. And I have no power, I have no standing in the midst of my people, no standing in the midst of Israel, that everybody would follow me. Oh, what does Gideon feel? He feels how great that this task is, and he feels his own insignificance. He feels his own meanness, or he doesn't understand how that can possibly be. How does the Lord prepare his servants? He humbles them. He gives them very low thoughts of themselves. He gives them great thoughts of him, high thoughts of that work that needs to be performed for his church. Do you know what Gideon does? He begins to point out other people. He begins to say to the Lord, O Lord, is there now not someone else that is more fit for this than I am? He says, my family, that is poor in Manasseh, and me in particular in my father's house. What does that mean? That means, he says, oh Lord, what about my brothers? What about my brethren? Then they are greater in my family than I am, and even if thou will not take my brethren, then there are other families in Manasseh. What about the Gileadites? Oh, they are much more manifold, and they are the descendants of Gilead. Oh, they are mighty men of war. Congregation, the Lord will get his honor in the salvation of his own people. And thus he will choose an instrument that is of very little consequence. An instrument that is of very little reputation, perhaps, among all the people. Oh, it is then whom the Lord thinks is the least suitable are often the most forward. We read of that man, come to the Lord Jesus. He says, I will follow thee whithersoever that thou goest. I will be one of your disciples. You can send me. And the Lord says, no. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Oh, the Lord prepares his own. And those will deem themselves to be unfit. Think about Jeremiah. What did he say? He said, oh Lord, I am a child. I cannot speak. What did Moses say? Oh, Moses says, I am of slow speech. Slow. tongue. I don't have any gifts, son Aaron. Oh, whom will the Lord send? The Lord, he will choose whom he sends. And the Lord, he will make fit whom he will send. This is now the man that the Apostle Paul is speaking about in Hebrews 11. You read about who we call the heroes of faith. And Paul says, the time would fail me to speak about Gideon. One of those heroes of faith, we say. Here is the man. Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Bible doesn't talk about heroes of faith. Gideon would not talk about himself like that either. Oh, wherewith shall I save? What is faith? What is faith? That is a gift of God. Then the Lord will give it to a man. But also the exercising of faith, that is all a gift of God. That is the experience of Gideon. So it is very different, young people, than it is said so often in the midst of the so-called Christianity of this world. Oh, what is that true faith? How does the Lord humble a man under true faith? Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? If you have two armies, who will win? Who will win? You say, the strongest one. Yes. The one with the most people, they will win. That is natural. Oh, Gideon, he has experienced the power of that army. He knows very well the timidity of Israel. Why? Yes, because they live in sin. And when we live in sin, then we do not become bold in the Lord. Gideon also feels his own weakness, his own insignificance. And so he says, how then can that be? Wherewith? He does not know how. He asked the Lord. That is a good thing, to ask the Lord. Wherewith? How will that go? Is that a wrong question for him to ask the Lord? Say, Gideon is reasoning. He's reasoning. That is right. He's looking at all the circumstances. Is it good to reason? What do you think, young people? Is it good to reason? Well, who gave you reason? The animals cannot reason. Where does reason come from? It comes from the Lord. That is actually part of that image of God. The intellect. That is an aspect of your soul that is missing in those animals. The reason. Must you reason? Oh, you must reason. You must reason. You must use that intellect that the Lord gave to you. Faith is not against reason. They are sometimes put over against each other. Well, that is reason. I must not do that. I have only to believe. No. Faith is not against reason. What is faith? It is above reason. Faith goes into those places where reason cannot come. Faith never believes something that is contradictory. Something cannot be and not be at the same time. That contradicts. You say, well, I'm going to believe it so. No. No. That is not faith. That is foolishness. Faith does not believe contradictory things. What does faith do? When reason comes to its end, when reason has nowhere to go anymore, when reason cannot see it anymore, oh, then the Lord, he says, well, you just believe me. Just believe me. And there goes faith. Far beyond what reason can do. Because the Lord, his reasoning that is so far above our reasoning. Or is that then a good thing to do to reason? Oh yes, but. Now when that reason comes to an end, faith then has to take it over. Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? And what is the Lord's answer? He says, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. What was that for Gideon? Oh, that was, we say, a comforting promise. What does the Lord say to him? He says, surely I will be with thee. What did Barak say to Deborah? He says, if thou wilt go to fight against Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, if thou wilt go, then I will go. And if thou wilt not go, then I will not go. Yeah. He knew the Lord was with her. He was not sure that the Lord was with him. Oh, she says, I will go. I will go. But the honor will not be for you. Honor is going to be for a woman. It was not for her, but it was going to be for a woman. And what did Barak do? Did he say, okay, then I will go by myself? No. Why? Oh, he was not after the honor. He was not after the honor. No, he says she may have the honor if the Lord will take care of his people. If the Lord will deliver his people. What did Moses say? He says, O Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. Moses could not go without the presence of the Lord to go before the people of the Lord. Surely, the Lord says, I will be with thee. That is now the answer of the Lord unto the question of Gideon, when he says, wherewith, what does the Lord say? My power. That is wherewith thou shalt save Israel. I will be with thee. That is not a promise now to reason out, is it? Because the Lord does not tell him just how it is going to go. He only says, I will be there. I will be there. Gideon, what have you to do with that? You have not to reason with that. You have only to believe that. You have only to trust that. And when you will go forward according to my command, then surely I will be with thee. Was Gideon glad with that? Oh, Gideon was glad with that. Oh, he looked not for the honor. No, he will give the Lord the honor. And he will be so glad with the deliverance of his people. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Just as it were like you were fighting one person. You fight one person, one blow, and it is all over. And thou shalt smite the Israelites, the Midianites, just as if it says, it says actually, just as if it were one person. Oh, that destruction that is going to be now so complete. There is now going to be one single enemy left. Who can imagine? We can see, we hear that valley that is full of the Midianites. They are like the grasshoppers. And the Lord says, when I am with you, They will all be gone in one moment. And now that faith of Gideon, that can now rest on that word of the Lord. He does not know how it is going to go. Abraham didn't either. No, the Lord said to him to leave his country and his father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Did not know where. Had only to rest upon that word of the Lord. Is that unreasonable? That faith? To rest on the word. On the word of the Lord. What the Lord commands him to do and says, just now you go and I will be with you. Is that unreasonable? That is the most reasonable thing in the whole world. Is it not? To trust and to rest upon the word of the Lord. What is more reasonable than that? These children, they rest, they trust in the word of you, fathers and mothers. You say, I have no strength, I have no wisdom, but they trust you. Yes, you love them, and the things you tell them you mean, and hopefully you can do if you say you are going to. And now, how much the Lord? How much more Him, the Almighty God, and that covenant God of His own people, who has the welfare of His own people at His heart, who knows what they need, and who has the power to deliver them from every one of their enemies. Is that reasonable? Oh, that is so reasonable. So reasonable. That blessed faith. Oh, just to go and to rely and to now wait upon Him. Surely I will be with thee. And now the Lord, He fulfills it in the practice for every one of His servants. For every one of them whom He calls and whom He sends for the sake of His own afflicted and tried people. It is true. They have to go and they do not know how it is going to go. They don't know how that the Lord is going to do it. Or then they are called to a life that is just close to the Lord. Just to say every time again, Lord, show me what to do. Lord, tell me what to preach. Tell me how to preach. And now with Gideon, they will experience the truth of the word of the Lord, the faithfulness of the word of the Lord in His own promise. And the church, they will receive by those instruments His deliverance. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt Thou be pleased to call and to send also in our days those whom Thou wilt, not whom we will, but whom Thou wilt, whom Thou wilt prepare with grace and with concerns for Thy church. O, could it please Thee to remember Thy own Zion. How many years, Lord, are Thy people? They are wandering, as it were, amidst the idols of this world. Could it please Thee to bring back, to send men into Thy service, drawing that Thy people may be delivered. Bless Thy word. Forgive our sins. Be with us in this day. Be with us in the day of tomorrow. We hope to gather once again in Thy house. And wilt Thou help in the reading, help in the preaching. Be among us as one that serveth. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sin. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 126, 1, 2, and 5. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid, and therefore, though the earth remove, we will not be afraid. 1, 2, and 5 of 126. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.